You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, so I'm going to be bringing Minister Khumbudzo Ntshavheni first, but before I do, three things that I want to say before I bring in the ministers, and I want you to tell me what you think. One, our government has been cagey about this Russian vessel for so long, since its arrival and dawn departure. There's been no official explanation from the Department of Defense, no explanation from the South African National Defense Force, no explanation from the Navy either. This is despite a number of calls from politicians, repeated media requests for information. So whatever information government gives you now, take it with a pinch of salt. They were never interested in transparency from the word go. So anything is possible. More so because in their statement yesterday, they don't deny the allegation by the U.S. ambassador. They merely commit to this inquiry that will be led by a retired judge. But why not state categorically clear that as government entities, we are not aware that there were weapons that were loaded onto Lady R. And we distance ourselves, we deny the allegations, but we will investigate further in case this happened behind our backs. Government doesn't do that in the statement. It doesn't say anything about the defense minister and what she said, Thandi Modise, in December, that to her knowledge, the cargo was an old order for ammunition. So something is fishy here. And maybe this inquiry is actually just to buy time, I think, and you can tell me what you think. I actually spoke to someone last night who's in the maritime industry who says they spotted this ship on the AIS. That's the automatic information system. And apparently, the vessel was not calling or communicating with any of the South African ports. Eh? And I was told this is a type of vessel, they often call it the RORO, roll on, roll over, roll on, roll off. It's one that normally carries even cars. It was so close to the shore in the Western Cape area. So the MRCC called the vessels and they inquired the reason for her going so close to the shore and not communicating. And the vessel apparently advised that they are calling Simonstown. And then after that, it switched off its AIS, that system, making it difficult for our maritime authority to track it. And the next thing, it's in Simonstown. And then in December, our defense minister is not clear why the ship has docked on our waters. I really don't understand. I think government in their statement is not denying the allegation categorically because they don't want to end up with egg on their face. And the fact that these operations occurred in the dead of night during rolling blackouts must really raise eyebrows. The second thing I want to say, we had a conversation on the show last week on our Thursday dialogue about our relations with the U.S., in our relations with Russia and China. You can go check out the podcast if you missed it. It was an important conversation that you would swear we knew what was coming, or maybe we did. We spoke about the need for South Africa to be clear about who it's aligned to and to understand where its bread is buttered. You cannot please two masters at the same time. You need to decide. And excuse this analogy, but you need to decide who's the main and who's the side. Last week or so, South Africa voted in the United Nations. So China, India, Brazil voted in the United Nations General Assembly to declare their BRICS partner Russia the aggressor in its war with Ukraine, which was a first for these BRICS countries. But guess what South Africa decided to do? It abstained from the vote. There are three options. You vote in support, against, or you abstain. We chose to abstain. So South Africa is now the only BRICS nation, besides Russia, obviously, that doesn't see Russia as an aggressor in the war in Ukraine. They do that, and then they send a delegation to Washington, D.C. to iron out differences with the U.S. to avoid losing billions in trade. How? And then we agreed to do military exercises with Russia and China, and we declined to participate in the Cutlass Express military exercises with the U.S. without even explaining why. And that's according to what the ambassador told me on this show a few months ago. So we say yes to Russia and China, no to the U.S. And then we want to run to the U.S. and say, no, we're still committed to this relationship. Can we just make up our minds about who is the main and who is the side? Choose who you are unapologetically aligned to and stick to it. And sticking to it means you may, in fact, face consequences. And I don't think you can argue about the numbers because they are clear. There's way more value in our trade relations with America than with Russia. You know, take AGOA, for instance. It gives South Africa privileged access to lucrative markets in the US, duty and quota-free access to that market. And that's benefited us over the years. And that policy, my friends, is due to be extended or terminated in 2025. South Africa could be ejected then or even before. More so, given what's happening now. And my question is that the price we're willing to pay for our apparent support for Russia? The last thing I want to say, and then I'm going to go to the minister, and then afterwards take your calls. Having said all of that, I don't think South Africa should allow the US to choose who the country must be friends with. We mustn't allow ourselves to be bullied by the US. While I think our government may or may not have done what the US is alleging, I also think the US is using this to flex their muscle. And they are good at it. They will issue a terror alert in the richest square mile in Africa, bring the economy to a halt almost, just to drive a message home and to show you who is boss. And I'm not saying their intelligence on that potential terror alert in Sandton wasn't true. I'm just saying anything is possible. At some point, the US must respect the position South Africa has taken on this Russian war in Ukraine. This so-called neutral position, whether it agrees or disagrees with it, isn't that at least the courtesy you afford a sovereign state? But then again, does the US as a superpower care about sovereignty? What happened in Iraq when America justified the invasion? Didn't President Bush tell us there are weapons of mass destruction there? Over 20 years later, do they ever find those weapons of mass destruction? What happened in Libya? They said Gaddafi had promised to kill protesters, so let's go in. And I see people are asking, is this another typical moment where the US shows its imperialist tendency? Are they trying to find a reason to sanction South Africa? Are they trying to force South Africa to take a position against Russia? What I think has been clear for a while now is that the US is worried about the prevalence of China and Russia on the continent. It's feeling threatened. And I think it's capable of doing anything to defend their influence on this continent. But we can't live to appease the US. Then they will bully us every single time. What happens when they want to influence our policy? What happens when they don't like a popular candidate who's running for president? We are now considering the feasibility of a BRICS currency as an alternative to the dollar. You think that makes them happy? And yes, South Africa needs the US to create hundreds of jobs in South Africa. But the US needs us too. We need them more than they need us, but they need us too. It's not in their interest to break ties with us, considering that Pretoria is the biggest trade partner in sub-Saharan Africa. The US also doesn't want to lose diplomatic space in Africa to either Russia or China. We are the US's biggest trade partner in the region, and that's significant for them too. So this idea that, oh, we need them, of course we do. But they also know that they need us. It's 20 minutes after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Kumbuzo Ntshavheni is the minister in the presidency. Minister, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Good morning to you and to your listeners, Clement.
The statement you released yesterday as the presidency doesn't deny that there's ammunition that was loaded onto that vessel. It notes with concern that the allegations made by the U.S. ambassador and announces an inquiry by a retired judge. Why are you not categorically denying as government that you are not aware of any weapons that were loaded onto Lady R?
So I'm here to do that, to categorically deny that we are not aware as government on any weapons that were loaded on Lady R. And I want to, let me give you the explanation.
Yeah.
In terms of the conventional arms control, we've got what we call the National Conventional Arms Control Act in South Africa, which establishes a National Conventional Arms Control Committee. That committee when we are selling arms, whether through Arms Corps or Dunel or that from the government side, they must then apply for permits to sell those arms. Because we are also a signatory to an international convention that the armaments produced in South Africa will not be used to kill women, children, and all those things. So there are those conventions that we must then satisfy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that there has not been a submission to the National Conventional Arms Control Committee in terms of applying to sell arms to Russia, to sell arms to Ukraine. And I'm going to also add it to Belarus. Why I'm adding Belarus? Because there was a question last year that was submitted to the committee, the NCACC, by a parliamentarian last year and this year on the very same issue to say, did you sell arms? Did you do that? So in terms of our legal process and formal process and government control process, there are no arms that are authorized to be sold to Russia, to Ukraine, to Belarus. You can go to Parliament and follow the responded to that question in PQ, I think, 2441. I can get you the exact number of the PQ to respond to that specific question.
Okay.
But yesterday's statement, it was dealing with this megaphone diplomacy that the U.S. is trying to bully us. We can't be bullied. We're a sovereign state. And I listen to your monologue. It's not about... it's not about you. It's not about a side and the main. It's about you and your neighbor. You agree we're going to live cordial with each other. We'll not make disturbances that will disturb the peace next door, and we'll look after each other if the neighbor decide there's people who are not ever, if I'm not around. My neighbor says, if I see people loitering in a manner that it becomes suspicious, I will alert you that there's this there are neighbors who are, there are people who are lingering, which I'm not comfortable. And it's like that terror alert they issued, which was false. They just wanted to scare South Africans. And for me, it was very unfortunate that that terror alert, they also did that during the largest gay pride march in this country, where we are faced with challenges within our continent around tendencies of homophobia, and to threaten that. And the second issue you raised on that issue, you said, why is South Africa not deciding which friend it chooses? We have decided that we are neutral. We cannot be bullied. The U.S. cannot choose our friends. And by the way, it's not correct that we did not agree to do a military drill with the U.S. The U.S. requested to bring forward the agreed timelines of the military drill. And the defense force said, we're going to come back to you. They've come back, they've agreed on dates for the military drill. It was not an issue. There was no need for the ambassador to be jumping up and down. Hey, South Africa is refusing a military drill. It was never such. We have timetables of saying where the drill, but they wanted to move their drill to coincide with an agreed timetable of a drill with another country.
Which country was that? Which country was that?
Russia, of course. We cannot be bullied to be decided. But the U.S. not co-manage or co-govern South Africa.
Okay. Let me clarify this, Minister. I had the ambassador on my show, and he told me government of South Africa didn't give reasons why it declined to participate in the Cutlass Express. Are you saying to me that the U.S. wanted their Cutlass Express military exercises to coincide with what you as Pretoria had already planned with Russia?
I'm saying to you, we have a scheduled timetable of when the exercises are done with one country or the other. And in that timetable, the U.S. wanted to revise their timeline. And we said, no, you can't revise your timeline. We need to come back to you and say, the proposed dates that you are giving us, are they suitable or viable for us?
Okay.
And we went back to them and said, look, the dates you are proposing are not viable for us. We'll come back with alternative dates. So then we wanted in right there to say, no, this is the alternative date. It doesn't work.
Okay. Let me ask this then. If you are categorically denying as government this morning that there were no weapons loaded onto Lady R, why have you now instituted this inquiry that's going to be led by a retired judge? What's that supposed to achieve?
I'm saying to you, Clement, there is no official authorization for weapons to be sold to Russia and Ukraine. Whether weapons were loaded or not is another matter. but there are no, there's no authorization. And if the weapons were loaded in that lady app, the inquiry will determine that, and those people who have done that will then face the consequences. But where we are, there was no authorization.
So, as government, you are confirming, though, that as government entities, there was no authorization. You deny categorically. But what you want to investigate is whether or not this may have happened behind your backs.
Yes.
So, you have, as government, been cagey about this Lady R vessel, Minister. I know the politicians and even the media was asking Thandi Modisa, the defense minister, questions about it, and there were no answers that were forthcoming. So you've got this vessel that came, it docked, it left, and then you, as government, were still not able to tell South Africans what it was here for. Are you able to tell us now what that vessel was here for in December?
But the defense explained why the vessel was here and that they had some order and whatever. But those, all those things are the matters that are going to be determined in the inquiry. Because remember, when you had a multiple set of players, you had the defense, you had SARS who were in the play, and everybody. And the issue was, when that the vessel came through to the country, what was the purpose of it docking in the country? Well, did it leave wherever it left to South Africa? And those things, they have been explained. The Minister of Defense explained to say, in terms of where they were sitting, this is the information she was provided. And you must understand, when that the arrangement of that vessel, it goes historically to even before I was minister, and the orders and all those things that had happened, that they got to make. But where we are saying is that all those things that are being queried, they'll then be subjected to this inquiry. And this inquiry will come out and say, the vessel came for this reason. This is what it carried. This is what it complied with. This is what it did not comply with.
How do we not know that, though, Minister? How do we not know that a vessel that docked on our waters, we still don't know for sure why it was here and what it left with?
Clement, no. We have been provided with information what it was here for. But given that you're going to undertake an inquiry, I cannot come to you now and say, this is whatever, because I don't want to go and testify on issues that have nothing to do with me. I don't know, because when you go and say, I say, this is what it was said, they will then bring me to the inquiry. The people who are responsible for getting the vessel in will go and say, these are the matters, these are the cargo it took, it brought in, this is the cargo that it took. And then they'll be examined in terms of the questioning, yep. And then they will respond. Because if I then come and say, this is what it was in, and that become part of the inquiry myself.
I'm okay, let's look at what's already in the public. Let's look at what's already in the public. The Defense Minister, Thandi Modisa, tells journalists in December that Lady R's cargo was an old order which had been made before the pandemic. I imagine you've had meetings with her. What is the explanation? What does she mean when she talks about an old cargo? Is this some ammunition or weapons that Russia had ordered or that we ordered way before even the war in Ukraine started? What does she mean by this old cargo that was ordered way before COVID-19?
Clement, that's what I'm saying. The minister explained. And I can, and that is the explanation that I just gave you, to say there was an old order. It was before I became minister, which is before the pandemic. And that explanation, the detail of what the minister refers to, will then be provided to the inquiry. Because now you want to bring me into the inquiry by saying these are the things that were in there. And that's what I'm saying. Clement, I cannot go. The inquiry will tell you that. But the minister, the same information she provided to the public is the same information she provided to the collective of the justice cluster. And that will be subjected to the inquiry to say, was she misled or not misled? But if you then say to me, I'm a state those, then the inquiry will bring me in. Our minister, you said the following in the Clement Manila show, and these are the things, and there you are regurgitating, but what are the discussions in this platform and whatever. So I don't want to be part of that. But what I can tell you is that where we are as government, in terms of our legal, because remember, we have laws in this country. It's not a decision of defense or some general at the defense or at AMSCO. that will then say, oh, we're going to sell ammunition to Zimbabwe. It's not their decision.
Okay.
It's a decision of a committee that accounts to the Standing Committee of Defense.
Yes,
and
yes.
They provide the list. So that thing, I cannot come in and say, no, the arms were authorized. We didn't authorize. The committee is clear.
That's cool.
There was no application.
And I've got the chair of the committee that is going to join me just after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. This has no doubt strained our relations with the U.S. Sydney Mufamadi led envoys to Washington, D.C. to try and iron out differences with the U.S. I mean, we cannot afford to be ejected from AGOA. How concerned are you that given the tensions that have escalated now, that is a possibility?
Look, where we're sitting is that we are very adamant that we cannot be bullied. The U.S. is our largest trading partner. The U.S. needs us as much as we need them. And we have said to them, our friend's enemy is not our enemy. Our friend's friend is not our friend. Our friend are those who pursue who help us to achieve the national interests of South Africa. And at various stages, the Russia assisted us with the struggle against apartheid. And when the U.S. did not come in time to sanction South Africa, and we cannot be told to dump whoever. We said we are not in your wars. We are not going to be party to it. We are ready. We stand ready to mediate the peace, and that is the work that we are doing to mediate the peace in the Ukraine and in Russia. And the very U.S., and I've said it last week, the very U.S. government has said, can you pursue the president of Russia to then be part of a negotiation? Can you then have this matter mediated? We said, well and good, we're going to do that. We've been engaging on that level to say, can we find a peaceful resolution to this conflict? Can we help get into the negotiated settlement of what are the difficulties between the two? And we have been doing that.
But you appreciate, Minister, that it's possible that AGOA could be in jeopardy because of the position that you have taken and the tensions that have escalated to this level now.
Look, anybody will want to threaten you one way or the other. But what is correct is in that monologue that you had is that the U.S. can equally not afford to dump South Africa. They can threaten us, they can intimidate us, they can do whatever. But it is important that we maintain the sovereignty of this country. And multilateral system must work. The U.S. cannot unilaterally take the decisions of our.
I'm completely out of time. But the last question, is Vladimir Putin coming? The Mail and Guardian is reporting that Russia has declined an invitation for Putin to attend the BRICS summit virtually.
There was, what I can tell you is that there was an invitation sent to President Putin, and President Putin will decide whether he comes to South Africa or not come to South Africa.
Did we invite him to come physically?
We invited all members of the BRICS in line with convention to attend the BRICS summit that is going to be hosted in South Africa. We are aware of the challenges that has emerged now with the ICC order, and we'll communicate. Remember, you send out an invitation, people RSVP. At the right time, we'll communicate who are the guests who have confirmed attendance, physically or otherwise, and who are the guests who will not attend physical order.
Minister, thank you so much for making time. Always appreciated. Khumbudzo Ntshavheni, Minister in the Presidency. What's your reaction? 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clemens Mwanyatela
on 702.
20 minutes before 10 o'clock, you've heard what the minister in the presidency, Khumbudzo Ntshavheni, has had to say. He says, we will not jump up and down for America. We will not allow them to bully us. They need us as much as we need them. Criticizing the U.S. ambassador for that quote-unquote megaphone diplomacy. What do you make of what she has had to say? I think what's clear is I think they realized that the statement yesterday wasn't categorically denying that the weapons were loaded. And this morning she says, we categorically deny that weapons were loaded on that ship. But we are investigating if perhaps there were weapons loaded behind our backs and we didn't know about it. In a moment, I'm going to bring in Mondli Gungubele. The reason I'm bringing Mondli Gungubele is because he's the current chair of the National Conventional Arms Control Committee. And their mandate is to approve arms trade. I'll get to Mondli in a moment. But for now, let me go to your calls, your WhatsApps as well. Kobus Mare is calling us from, who in fact is the DA Defense Shadow Minister. Kobus, thank you for calling. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning to your listeners.
Sure, go ahead.
What we know is that what happened in December in Simonstown with the Lady R is that during the nights of the Tuesday and the Wednesday, the ammunition that we know about has been loaded off. The minister has never officially confirmed that, but I know that because permit was issued for that import.
Mm-hmm.
What we do not know, and also what we know, is the Thursday evening, those trucks with the seven containers left Simonstown to Mokgopong to the ammunition depot. So during that night, there's clear evidence that something was loaded onto the Lady R, and the next morning, about 6, 7 o'clock, the Lady R left Simonstown Harbour. So the fact that the American ambassador has said so emphatically that something was loaded onto the Lady R proves that they have information, and we know that they've got technology with satellite, etc., that they can zoom into any place in the world and spot and tell you exactly what color of shirt someone was wearing, that they've got some information that something was loaded onto that vessel. I have got the information that there are no export permits being issued because I can't trace any export permits. So Mr. Gugubele will confirm that there is no permit.
He did, in fact. He did, because I recorded an interview with him this morning that I'm going to play just now.
Yes. But however, we know that something can be done covertly. We know that it can be done illegally or irregularly. Minister Modise has confirmed to me in December that she will only come out publicly and make a statement and convey message information to the committee and myself once she knows and she has seen the documentation and know that nothing was done.
How do they not know, Kobus?
She has not done anything like that. So
how do they not know? And that's what I'm struggling with. You've got a vessel docking on our waters, and yeah, 6 months later, you still have no idea, and you can't say for sure what it was carrying or what it left with?
Remember, no commercial vessel or aircraft can land on battlefield or berth in naval base Simonstown without high-level approval. Simonstown is not an official point of entry. No ammunition being imported or exported will go via Simonstown. It will go via a commercial port like Cape Town, Gqeberha, Kruger, or Durban.
Yeah. Kobus Mare, DA Defense Shadow Minister, thank you for calling us. I've got to let you go there so I can take some more listeners. I appreciate your call. Guy, you're calling from Randburg. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hi, Clement. First of all, I would like to thank you for questioning the minister properly. You've really hit the nail properly. I think the minister hasn't been honest enough, you know. Well, I'm asking myself, what's happening to the intelligence? How come USA can pick up such drastic events happening in the country and our intelligence are not able to do so? So I think the minister needs to be honest enough. There's no way the U.S. embassy can come and go public and saying such things without proper evidence. So I'm asking myself, what's happening to the SA intelligence? And another thing I would like to request of you, Kenneth, can you bring somebody high rank at intelligence to come and answer such questions?
Well, what's, you know, intelligence people don't, intelligence? I mean, intelligence people don't come in and really talk publicly about, by the way, Khumbudzo Ntshavheni is the minister responsible for state security. But I mean, they're not going to tell you publicly about what they are aware of, Guy. So that would be far-reaching. It would be a long shot. It's not going to happen. But also, intelligence. What intelligence in South Africa? Tiki in Pretoria. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hi, Clement. It's Piki Kriev, National Secretary.
Oh yeah, Piki. They wrote Tiki here. Apologies. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good. Clement. Go ahead.
Yeah. Look, just a few remarks about that terrible interview you just had terrible from the minister's perspective, I suppose. Firstly, it sounds like Gupta landing all over again. A vessel comes into a base of the SANDF, in this case a naval base, the top naval base in the country. Now, suddenly nobody knows why the vessel was there and they have to investigate it. The next thing she says is they're going to investigate commanders, supposedly in the Navy. I think it's a great point of concern that, again, the ball is being deflected towards SANDF command structures. The command structures in SANDF won't do anything unless they have high-level authority, especially not letting a vessel into a naval base. Mm. I think there's a lot of obfuscation going on, and I'm very, very concerned from the union's point of view that, again, SANDF personnel is going to be targeted in a witch hunt in trying to obfuscate what the true reasons and intentions of the vessel in the space was. It's besides the point what really the issue is, why the vessel was here. Our concern is, again, military personnel in management and middle management is now going to be targeted. That's our concern.
And it's your right to be concerned about that. Biki, thank you for calling. Biki Grief is the National Secretary of the South African National Defence Union, calling in and giving us his contribution on the 702 open line. After the break, Bondi Gungubele, as chair of this arms committee, did he approve any trade of arms to Russia?
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
10 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Clement, for once, I totally agree with the minister. What she said makes total sense. We cannot be bullied as a state. At some point, we have to stand up for ourselves. The U.S., we all know that is the real terrorist in this world. Nobody else.
Hi, Clement Paulus here, man. What a beautiful interview with Minister Chabeng. Wow, she gave a very well-balanced comment. In my view, we cannot afford to be bullied by the United States of America. They need us as much as we need them. So it's a two-way thing. It's a reciprocal. You know, we cannot afford to be bullied by them. We must keep our sovereignty and really make decisions as we please and as when we deem fit to do so. Thank you.
Hi, Clem. Good morning. Look, I think we at the point here where we now have to explain ourselves to the Americans and everybody else who accuses South Africa of not being neutral in this situation. But I think the burden lies with he who alleges to prove. I mean, the ambassador is obviously already broken with protocol. You know, the way he announced it, it's as if he's got the evidence with him there. But he's still waiting for the Department of this state and whatever intelligence to give him the evidence. So yeah, I support the South African government on this one. They must stand steadfast and not allow to be bullied. Otherwise, we're going to be on a free fall.
Hi, good morning, Clement. Should we now play hardball with the US by telling them not to tell us who we can be friends with or mustn't flex their muscles? These guys, the US is, they're the leaders of the free world, if I can put it lightly. If they put sanctions on South Africa, what will happen to us? You know what happened to Zimbabwe and many other countries. We can't afford being enemies with the US. And this president of ours is a weak president, Clement. He can't tell me he didn't know when Russian warships enters our waters and leaves with ammunition he didn't know about it. He's always just putting inquiries into place, and that costing the taxpayer money. Oh my goodness.
Where do you draw the line? What happens next? I mean, if we have to pander to the US and their influence, and they have influence, and of course we need them more than they need us, but what's next? If Julius Malema or Musi Maimane or some person who is a popular candidate for president and the US is not happy about that person, what's next? And they raise their concerns. What are we supposed to do? I'm just saying we need to be very careful to exist to appease the US. We are a sovereign state, and that has got to be respected. Otherwise, we're going to get on the path where policy decisions we take whoever becomes the next president, for some reason, that's got to get some form of approval, even indirectly so, by this superpower. And if you don't get what they approve, or they don't appreciate your friendship with somebody else, and then they flex their muscle. 7 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Here's that conversation with Minister in the Presidency, Mondli Gungubele. Okay. Minister, thank you so much for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Good morning to your listenership.
Since taking over as chair of the National Convention Arms Control Committee, did you approve arms or ammunition to Russia?
Not to my knowledge, not even in terms of my records. But may I also say, further in terms of records, it does seem that the last time we did an authorization in the area of Russia and Belarus, but I've not checked exactly whether it's Belarus or Russia, but it's 2018. You can imagine when was that. And of course, you talk about South Africa, which is part of the what I would refer to in terms of the legal framework that governs the movement of arms in South Africa and trade. We are governed by Act 41 of 2002 as amended, and also regulations of 2012. That includes number 3 in the legal framework. Under the Wassenaar arrangement. South Africa is part of the 51 countries in the world, which makes it a subject of scrutiny with regard to the framework that governs what is an implement of war and not. So South Africa, all the time when we meet, we actually analyze applications one-on-one based on the evidence and in line with this legal framework.
Okay. The Minister of Defense, Thandi Modise, told journalists in December that Lady R's cargo was an old order which had been made even before the pandemic. You've just mentioned that the last time there was that level of trade between us and Russia was in 2018. So is it possible that Lady R unloaded ammunition or weapons that were long purchased even before the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, logistics will determine that, but my attitude to this one, Clement, now that the president has indicated intention to investigate, I would be very careful of impurifying that process. I thought in my case it was just important to actually let South Africans know, we who are appointed by the president to actually manage the trading of arms, in as far as our records are concerned, we did not actually authorize anything in the direction of that country.
Okay. So here's the clarity that I'm seeking, Minister. If there are weapons that got onto that vessel on the way to Russia, that was then illegal and inappropriate because it wasn't sanctioned or approved by the committee that you chair. In other words, any arms or ammunition that leave this country without the approval of the committee, that would be illegal and inappropriate.
I think that's a correct assumption.
And if arms have been ordered a few years ago, whether it's arms or it's ammunition ordered a few years ago, when the delivery day comes, are you involved as the committee? In other words, if, let's for argument's sake, Russia ordered ammunition in 2018, but they've only come to collect in December 2022, would you still be aware as the committee of that process?
No, let me put it this way. There's a directorate of the technical people that does this work day to day. I would not expect the committee to know. Remember, this thing of armaments, as we approved in line with the existing prescript, the day-to-day practical work is not done by us as a committee. It is done by the industry. For instance, if Company A is certified to actually trade in arms based on the prescript, once you have given a permission for a particular category to actually go to whatever country, the day-to-day logistics of the movement of those, as committee or not, but our team are always monitoring and following all those issues. But I want to say, on the question of this one, of Simon Starr, I would refuse what you call Clement to make any comment, especially now that the president has indicated intention to investigate.
Okay, but just the last clarity then. Because you mentioned that the last time there was this kind of trade with Russia was in 2018. Are you aware...
That is in terms of my records, yes.
In terms of your records. Were the weapons or the ammunition collected by Russia at the time of that trade happening?
No, I've not gone to the details of that because that's not our worry at the moment. Remember the Ukraine trade war. What is it? The Ukraine-Russia war took place long after 2018.
Mm.
So that's not the matter at my disposal. Well, that's not the matter on my table at the moment.
Okay. And then as the National Convention Arms Control Committee, are you expected to have a meeting following this claim by the U.S. ambassador?
No, because our records do not necessitate that claim. This is a straightforward issue. In terms of our records, we have not authorized arms. So I imagine calling a meeting is just to affirm the minutes we know.
Okay. Minister, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Thomas.
At Chamberlain, we're famous for a lot of things, like our famous promotions. Join us from 24 April to 14 May and see for yourself why for 120 years, we've been Pretoria's DIY destination of choice. That's 120 years of expert advice and friendly service. 120 years of amazing deals on everything from paint mixing to board cutting, building supplies, and everything in between. And now, with your very own Chamberlain trade card,